Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We call this first service of Sunday morning our Bible study. Some people refer to it as Sunday school. And it's a time that we have especially reserved for teaching. And then, the second service of the morning, we call it our message. And it's a time that we have especially reserved for preaching. And it can be really hard to tell the difference in the two. It can be really, really tough. When I first asked my dad to speak for us, I told him, I said, because he was going to be here this morning and tonight. I said, I don't know if I'll have you do the Bible study in the evening or the morning message in the evening. He said, doesn't matter to me. It's going to be the same message either way. And I said, well, I get that. And the reason it's so difficult to tell the two apart is because we don't really do any preaching without teaching. And we don't do any teaching without preaching. We just don't. They go hand in hand. But if we want to get our minds around the difference in the two and why we even decipher the two, this is the best way I know to describe it. Preaching is declaring what the Word of God has to say about Christ. If we're going to preach, the Apostle Paul said, we preach Christ. If any man's going to speak and preach, we're going to preach Christ. And teaching is declaring what the Word has to say to us in light of Christ. This Word has something to say to us in light of everything that it has to say about Him. We preach Christ's work and Christ's salvation. And we don't preach man's work and man's salvation. We preach that Christ started it. And Christ finished it. And Christ gets all the glory for it. And we preach that salvation is most definitely not by works of righteousness which man has done. It's just not. Man didn't start it. Man didn't finish it. Man has not done anything worthy of getting any glory in it at all. No glory at all. Salvation is of the Lord. That's the message we preach. Salvation is of the Lord. But because salvation is of the Lord, because it pleased the Lord to make some sinners to be His people, because we have been washed in His blood and adopted into His family, all because we belong to Him, we teach what He has to say to those who have been made to be His people. Just like I teach my own two children. All right, I teach my own two children how I want them to be. And I don't do that so that they can be my children. I do that because they are my children. I don't go around to other people's children and instruct them on how I want them to be and act. I probably have an opinion about it, but I don't go up to other people's children and instruct them, this is how I want you to be. I do that to my children because they're my children. And our Lord does the exact same thing. He has given us instruction on how He wants us to be because we are His children. And he's given us some very clear instruction at the end of Matthew 5 here. This whole Sermon on the Mount, this is just wonderful, beautiful instruction. And this is what I want to say about it, all right? God has told us right here what he wants us to do. And I want to be so clear about this. He has told us, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to be. If we belong to Christ, and that's the key, if we belong to Christ, and think about what that means, if he bought us and we're his, if we belong to Christ, and if we don't do this, we will still be saved. And it's because our salvation is based on his work and not ours. It's based on his success in this word and not our failure in this word. Just like if my two children disobey me. They do. I did. They do. If they disobey me, they're not going to lose my DNA. They're just not. It will not and it cannot be said that they are no longer my biological children. That just can't be. Their disobedience or obedience, it has no bearing on whether or not they belong to me. That was determined. Them belonging to me was determined before they were ever even born into this world. But if they disobey me, they will bring my chastisement down on them. And if we belong to Christ, our union with him, that was ordered and settled before we were ever born. But whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And that's, if you want to get our mind around, I shouldn't be doing that. Well, thank God we're not going to lose our salvation. You have men stand up in pulpits and put people under bondage saying, you'll lose your salvation. No, you won't. Jesus Christ said, I have kept them. And they are being kept by the power of God. And they're in my hand, and Father, I'm in your hand, and no man is able to pluck them out. But the word says don't murder somebody. And if you do, you've got some earthly consequences you're going to have to suffer. There are some earthly judgments and payments that are going to have to be made. And our Lord, whom he loves, he corrects and he chastens and he disciplines his children. And if we would like for his chastening to not come down on us, we would be wise to listen to his instruction and do it. For a long time, honestly, when I first started really entering into, this is not by man's works. You know, the first thing that God's people are accused of is being antinomian, which means you just don't believe anything. You don't have to do anything. Just nothing matters. That's not so. Our Lord is clear on these things. But if we do these things or don't do these things based on his word, we will suffer earthly consequences for them. Not eternal, thank God. But we will suffer earthly consequences. And so I want to learn this. I want to go through the rest of these verses. And if the Lord is willing, I want to both teach them and preach them. We're going to teach them and preach them. And when I tell you that I pray the Lord will teach me this, I mean it. I sincerely mean it. I'll go ahead and confess to you. I have been personally convicted over this Bible study. The Lord has really dealt with me. And I pray the Lord will deal with all of us and help all of us. The last time that we were here in Matthew 5, we looked at the verses that talked about the sin that we commit. He said, you know you're not supposed to kill, but if you get angry with somebody, you're going to go before the judgment. He said, you know you're not supposed to commit adultery, but if you lust in your heart, you have. And he went on down these sins that we commit. This morning, we're going to look at the verses that talk about sin that is committed against us. All right, verse 38. Matthew 5, verse 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the law. All right. If we were to look it up, if we were to go to the Old Testament, go back to Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, we would read that's what the law says. That's the law that was given to Moses. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But because Christ satisfied the law, would he encourage us to disobey the law? Absolutely not. But because he fulfilled the law and satisfied the law, and because he is the end of the law for righteousness. He said in verse 39, but I say unto you, you know that's what the law says. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That's how God wants his children to be. He said, if somebody literally smites you on one cheek, turn and give him the other one. That is not what the flesh, that's not the response of the flesh. Most men will tell their son, if somebody hits you, you pop them back. Well, and that's what we naturally want to do. But our Lord said, this is what our Lord said. He said, if somebody smites you on your cheek, you offer him the other one. Don't fight back. Don't bow up in pride. Don't take matters into your own hands. Leave it in the hands of the Lord, who is the righteous judge. Leave it in the hands of the Lord, and he will execute vengeance on your behalf. This is what he said. He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. He will execute vengeance on your behalf. But do not take matters into your own hands. All right, that's teaching. Here's some preaching. If we want the ultimate example of that, all we have to do is envision our Lord standing there before Pilate while those soldiers, one by one, took turns striking him in the face. And you know that if they've ever hit somebody, they were giving it all they had, one by one, one by one, smiting him in the face. What did he do? And this is God we're talking about. What did he do? This is what he did. He opened not his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. That's what he did. He did that for our sake. So he said, verse 38, you have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. If any man sues you, if you're ever sued, or any woman sues you for anything, this is what the Lord says, let him have it. And this is what our response will be. No, then I won't have it. I have it, and if they take it from me, then they'll have it, and I won't have it. All I can do is declare the word of God, because I get that feeling. I understand that feeling. Like, that's exactly how I would feel. All I can do is set myself to the side and declare the word of God. This is what God said. Just give it. Just give it. This is what he also said. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, shall men. I love my children so much. And if somebody took something from them and they bore it patiently, don't you think that I would repay and repay and repay if it was in my power to do so? He said, you just give it and it'll be given to you. If somebody sues you and takes something from you, they're going to be the loser. They really are. They're going to be the loser. God is going to deal with that person for suing you. And I want to make this really clear. I'm thankful for lawyers. I don't mean to disrespect that profession at all. I was so glad we had a lawyer when we just closed on our building so it could be documented. Let everybody know that's ours. We needed a lawyer for that. And I realize that things happen and all that kind of stuff. But based on the Word of God, based on the Scripture, suing someone is against the commandment of God to His people. It's against the instruction of the Word. And it's not how God wants His people to handle things. And this is the reason why. It says one of two things. It says, either it says, I don't trust how God is going to handle this. It's taking matters into our own hands. And it's either saying, I don't trust how God's going to handle this. Or it says, I don't like how God has handled this. That was the judgment, and I just don't like how He handled it. So let me show you this. This is important for us to see and me not to just say this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 1, it says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Watch the end of this verse. He said, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? He said, why would you not just take it patiently and suffer the wrong that's done to you? That's what God commands of us. And here's what I want us to understand in it. That's what God blesses. We all want the blessing of the Lord. And that's what He blesses. Verse 8 said, nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. So let's just ask the Lord to give us the faith to trust Him. Let's ask the Lord to give us the faith to trust Him and to trust what He brings to pass, to trust His will and to trust His purpose in it. And let's ask Him to give us the grace, both the faith and the grace, to be willing to let everything go. If they sue us, it's probably going to go. Lord, give me the faith and give me the grace to trust You and to let it go. If that's what You'd have for me, that must be the best thing. If somebody does sue us for our coat, Lord, give me the grace to give my cloak also. All right. What is the greatest example of that the world has ever known? They stripped our Lord of His seamless robe. They stripped Him and they hung Him on the cross of Calvary. What did He do in return? To the very people who did that to Him, The very ones that cast lot for his coat, this is what he did in return. He suffered the wrong, and he covered them in his spotless robe of righteousness. They took that seamless covering that he was wearing at the time, and they hung him naked on that cross. And from that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." And what he was saying is, cover them in my blood. Robe them in my righteousness. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They've stripped me of my coat. Father, give them the robe of my righteousness too. All right, go with me back to Matthew 5. Verse 40, it says, "If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain." He said, if somebody asked you to go 1 mile, go 2 with them. Do more. I want to learn this. I really want to learn this. Do more. Do above and beyond what is asked of you. I'm going to give a little illustration here, and I hope it is a good one. When I first moved here, that piano needed to be tuned desperately, badly. So I called a piano tuner and I asked him, you know, how much do you charge to tune a piano? He said, well, it's $105. But he said, I knock 20 off for churches. I'll do it for churches for $85. And I said, okay, come on over and tune it. Well, I got to thinking about it and I thought, I don't want to be lumped in with all the other churches in town. I don't want a handout. Everybody's like, what's the cheapest you can? Now, we're a church now. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. So I asked Brother Tony, I said, can we just pay him the 105? Just pay him the regular amount? And he said, well, let's make it 125. Rather than taking 20 off, let's add 20 to it. I said, sounds good to me. So that's what we did. And may the Lord honestly teach us, do more. Do more. Do more. May God's people be big tippers. Really. That's grace. That's kindness. Our Lord wants His people to do more. What's the ultimate example of that? Where our sin abounded, Christ's grace much more abounded. He didn't just pay what we owed to the penny. That's how I used to have it in my brain. You know, well, this is what we owed, and thank God this is what He paid. And it blessed my heart so much when I found out that's not what He did. He did not pay our debt to the penny. He most certainly did not. This is what He said. You cry to my people. He said, you stand up and tell them that their warfare is accomplished and their iniquity is pardoned and they have received of the Lord's hand double for all their sins. He said, you tell them that I have done exceeding abundantly above all that they have asked and even thought. He said, I haven't just pardoned. I've abundantly pardoned. The payment I've made is so above and beyond. They'll never have to worry about their debt ever again. So, verse 41, it says, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh of thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. He said, if a man comes to you asking of anything, don't turn him away. Don't turn him away. Thank God Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In no wise. I will not turn him or her away. Won't do it. Verse 43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Every person here has somebody who you consider to be an enemy. Every person here. And I'm not talking about you being against them. I'm talking about them being against you. Ask God to give you the grace to love that person. You know, we have people that we have had bad attitudes toward. May the Lord, David said, see if there be a wicked way in me and get it out of me. Lead me in the way everlasting. But those who just, you just can't make amends with them. And they just, let's ask the Lord to give us the grace to love those people. Let's ask the Lord if He will do that for us. Lord, give me the grace to actually pray for that person. Not just my children. Not just my brethren. That person. Christ came to save sinners. Sinners against God. Let's ask the Lord to let us be toward that person what Christ was and is toward us. We were His enemies. We were His enemies. The Scripture says we hated Him. It says we despised Him. It says we rejected Him. Rejected Him. No, I will not have Him. We hid, as it were, our faces from Him. We esteemed Him not. But He loved us. And He gave Himself for us. And in the process, this is what He did. He won us to Himself. We love Him now. We love Him. And it's all because He first loved us. That's the whole reason. It's because He first loved us. May God put that heart and that spirit in us toward those who are just dead set on being our enemies. I pray God will have mercy on me and that person too. There's no difference, but for the grace of God, there's no difference in any of us. So may the Lord do that. Let's ask Him to do that. Our Lord said, if you ask a good thing in my name, I'll give it to you. Lord, would you please put grace in my heart to love, pray for, forgive? Verse 48, be ye therefore perfect. And what that means is mature. It means spiritually mature. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Lord, conform us to your image. That's what we're needing and looking for. As you are, make us to be that. For Christ's sake, please make us to be that. We will be that soon in glory, once sin is removed from us. Lord, help us now. Help us to become more and more conformed into that image now. All right, you're dismissed.